Let's get back to business here. What you're hearing is what we did with a guest from Germany some weeks ago. You're hearing the truth from South Africa, where approximately 4 million whites are under direct threat of death if they don't leave South Africa in 5 years. And yet the blacks don't want them to leave. There are enough blacks there who realize that it's the whites who have made that country. And without them, if the plug were pulled, the bathtub would drain and they'd be SOL, as they say in the streets. Nothing left. So they're trying to hold them there. They don't want certainly their capital to leave. So the whites are in a terrible dilemma. They're being threatened. They are being coerced. And yet they can't leave. They're not allowed to leave. It's being made, obviously, as what Carl said, very difficult for them to leave. Carl, I want to talk about black on white hatred. Black on white crime in this country, in America, is one of its biggest secrets. The number of crimes committed against whites by blacks is enormous. Very few crimes committed by whites against blacks. And these are FBI statistics. Tell us about the hatred down there, which is being promulgated and built, obviously, more and more.
Jeff, yes. Like I said earlier, there's a definitive program running through. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Sorry, we're having a very, very bad storm down in the Cape, so it's getting a bit choppy.
All right, you're good. Go ahead.
There is definitely a movement. Coming back to what we spoke about earlier, is, for instance, if I have a business as a white owner of that business in South Africa, I'm no longer allowed to employ whites. I have to employ only blacks.
Only blacks, not a percentage. Blacks, only black, 100% blacks.
Wow. 100%. Not allowed to employ another white. I have to have a black partner, 50% at least, if not more, 51% probably by next year. So there's no way for whites to actually generate their own income anymore. You can't find work because it's this whole black economic empowerment thing, which basically means doesn't matter your background or your qualifications or your skill set or anything. The black guy will get the position. It doesn't matter if you go to school. It doesn't matter your grades. The black guy will come in. Only need 30% to pass your matric at the moment or your grade 12. And then you can go to university. Go to university, want everything for free. Mm-hmm. And then you walk out of there, and if you don't get your degree, you write and you burn down a couple of libraries, you get your degree and you go into the workplace. That's where South Africa is heading. Now, instead of trying to uplift the country, the government seems to be more interested in looting what is left.
Right.
And that's it.
Wow.
And that's where it's heading to. It's really to the point where, well, if you are white, you are going to get mort. The last bit of money that you have left, or capital, or
right,
reserves that you built up, anything like that, that will be taken over, confiscated eventually.
Yeah.
And the only company or group that we have that so-called set out to help whites, the only thing they do is cart you off to a squatter camp or a shantytown. And that's it. And then you've got to go and live in a
little tent. We have whites living in shantytowns.
Yeah.
More and more and more. There's 18 of them now in South Africa. About 500,000 whites living in there. No income, no possibility of income, can't start a business, not allowed to farm. So they basically live on handouts.
Is there any welfare for them at all?
No.
Oh my God!
And I've got personal experience of that, where I had to put in a claim, and there were three whites of us, all three of us that were white, standing right in this queue with our little forms.
Right.
That was now in this week. That was on Monday morning, where the payment officer or whatever, the guy that handles the claims, came down the line, collected everybody's forms, looked at me, passed me over, passed over the white girl that was standing next to me, passed over the next white guy, carried on with the next black guy. I called him over. I said to him, sorry, here's my form. Big altercation, lasted about 5-10 minutes, got very heated, and then I was told in no uncertain terms, F off, white boy. Now, this guy was probably about 23 years old. Makes him half my age.
Right.
And I don't think he's got a standard 8, because when I asked to hand in the forms, he actually went and got me a form that is already filled out.
This, Carl, we have as Patty and I have been saying here for some weeks now, we have a crisis there, and you are describing it to a T. It's even worse than we thought. This is an emergency situation. I know, I will tell you right now, I am a man not of great means. Some of you may think so, but you're wrong. I will do everything I can to make available to those whites who can get out a helping hand to get over here to get started. I don't know how that can be accomplished, though. If the government begins to block access to America, they have no hope. They're dead. They're going to die.
Basically, that's why we are busy setting up groups inside of South Africa. You have spoken to some of the leaders of the groups and the stuff before, I see on your website.
Yes.
But we need to start setting up safe zones, and we already have that. We've got United Nations refugee centers and all funny things that are busy coming up. Pretty much stocked up. I just want to come back on one thing.
Yeah.
There's all rhetoric that all the whites must be handled or taken out or killed off or whatever within 5 years. That can no longer be said to be the truth. We're giving it based on what we hear. Anything from what's today's date? The 7th. So I would say from about the 21st of next month is the earliest, up until the end of the year when the next election for the governing party is. And from what I see, and I hear this from a couple of different groups, is that within this year, there's going to be a move against the whites.
To kill them.
So it's no longer just 5 years. It is now literally 8-9 months.
Wow.
Now, I would say possibly, to be nice and to be fair, I would say after this coming election. Because the ANC is going to lose large parts, if not everything. And it's going to split, and you already see that. Everything is either the Gupta family in South Africa, or it's the whites, or it's the banks, or it's British Tobacco, but it's never them. It's always something to do with the whites, or with the family, or with, you know, it's just never me.
So why, Carl, would, and I shouldn't even ask this question, I think I can figure the answer out, why would blacks rather see whites dead than to leave South Africa and go off to another country like America?
I think since about 74, 75, just before we had that big uprising in Soweto where all the kids got shot, all that. Since then, I think there's been major indoctrination from their own groups and self-serving groups inside there that started making use of it. Took the whites as a scapegoat, and this just became a fiction, and it's been getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and it's now so big. They don't know how to stop it anymore, but it's comfortable. So
the white scapegoating of whites has become the new watchword. That's what they're doing. Okay.
It's a real Holocaust.
That's right. 4 million.
Yeah.
A real Holocaust. How Can you think of any way, Carl, that a channel can be opened to allow whites to emigrate to safety?
Jeff, the easiest and the quickest way to do that would be to set up an internet website or a portal where these people can get in touch with each other. I can't think of any other way that will work quick enough to actually facilitate something like that.
I know there are a lot of people listening right now who would want to help.
Yeah.
And to help a family or an individual to get out of there and come over here and get started would not be an exorbitant burden financially. An airfare, put them up somewhere in your home, perhaps in a rental for a couple of months. What's that, a couple thousand dollars? Feed them. They will look for work. I know there's not a lot of work here, but these people are ingenious, many of them, and they will create work. There are opportunities. There are always opportunities. But most importantly, we have to get those people out of there.
Yeah.
Now, Jeff, the thing is a lot of the people that are still left, they were over 50, 60, now they're pensioners. So for them to get out, that's going to be a major change in mindset.
Almost impossible. Very
hard.
Almost
impossible. So you also need to take into consideration the ones that stay behind.
Absolutely.
Let's say after, let's call it around figure 4 million people here. I would say maybe a million or less will leave. That still leaves you with 3/4 of the white population down here. And they are going to get slaughtered. Now, the problem is that in South Africa, you don't just kill. Okay? If I compare this, you see in London now, people get stabbed. Okay?
Right.
You get shot. Or not in South Africa. In South Africa, you get raped. Then you get hot oil poured on you. Then your nails are being pulled out with pliers. Your teeth are shattered. Your bones are shattered. You get tortured. And when they are finished with you, the next one comes in, starts all over, plays with you for a little while, and eventually when they get bored, then they will kill you. That's how a killing works in South Africa.
This is not human, not remotely human.
It's far from. It's far from. And if you look at what the United Nations say and all of these people, yeah, it's very inhuman and we can't believe it's happening, and then you don't hear from it again.
Why do they? What is something being done to shut them up? The United Nations, the people who care about this, are they being pressured by the globalist elite, Soros, the Bilderbergers?
I'm sure it must be. I'm sure there are groups and factions that won't be silenced about it. But I think they're so far in the minority or the amount of people,
right,
that they basically can't do much. You know, you can speak out about things like.
I was talking, Carl, about a bridge to get the whites out of South Africa at least 15 years ago on this program, and I appeal over and over again. Not one American congressman or woman had the guts to stand up and even introduce a bill to help them, never mind that bill won't go anywhere, but even to write one and introduce it. No one has the guts to do that. That's despicable.
Well, we've had the same thing here. We've got a couple of political parties, minority parties, that are actually actively questioning certain policies and stuff that are coming out of government. And the moment they say something, they get blamed with racism and this and that. And eventually they let it go. And that's where it stops. So we're stuck with pretty much the same thing down here. The two or three guys in parliament that tries to do anything about it, they've all been silenced. So I'm sure, like I said earlier, it must be something somewhere in the world is controlling all of this, whether it's in the States, whether it's in the UK, whether it's in Europe, there is a plan and somebody must be behind it.
Right.
Somebody that doesn't like whites.
Well, that's become the new mantra. No whites. Whites are bad. Whites are evil. There, even the mayor of London, that little Muslim jerk, said there are too many white men, too many whites. Said this about a year ago, I guess. So, you know, if whites began to say there are too many Muslims, there are too many blacks.
Yeah.
no politicians will say that. They don't say it over here. One or two, once in a while, imply it. Now, look, I want to go back to what you described. When you're murdered, when you are murdered in South Africa, when a white is murdered in South Africa, this is not a murder. This is an unbelievably horrific way to die.
Torture.
Unbelievable. And it's common.
Well, to give an idea, I had a meeting with somebody that's pretty well connected with intelligence and background intelligence in South Africa.
Right.
Stays in the same town as I am. And we've got this area down outside of the town where, like I said, there's about 90,000 blacks living that were bussed in. They were brought in literally overnight with buses. People woke up the next morning and all of a sudden there's 4,000 or 5,000 people that weren't there the night before when they went to bed. And the one guy, he is black, went up to the specific gentleman. They've known each other for more than a couple of decades. And he turned around and said to him, listen, white boy, before the end of the year, just know, you go to any one of those shacks, you will find at least 4 to 5 handguns, automatic rifles, ammunition, the whole tutti. We are coming for you, and there's a plan where all the whites, starting at one end of the town, right through, in one night. Just
one night, all whites holocausted in one night.
Plans, we know about it. The police can do nothing because most of the police are black. And they are told, if you don't join us, your wife is first. Your mother is first. So they join in. And we've got it on record from a couple of guys. And it's not just in this one town. It's all over. It's a countrywide thing. They're waiting for a command to come through. That's all the guy said. They're waiting for the word. And all of a sudden...
I have a question.
Go ahead, Patty.
Somebody that's orchestrating this in South Africa.
Yes, understood. This is an organization, as you heard Carl just say, I'm going to repeat it. The plan has been laid. It is ready. The black killers are just waiting for the order. Go ahead, Patty.
Yeah, I'd like to know, are the whites, are they trying to arm themselves?
Very difficult. Same thing as what's pretty much happening all over the world. If you remember a while ago, a couple of years ago, the government decided that anybody that owns a firearm, whether it's a sidearm, hunting rifle, you name it, needs to relicense it. Out of those... Just looking at the stats here, 53% were turned down. Out of those, 49% of those could appeal. And out of those 49%, so we're down to about a quarter of the amount of people, they were completely denied. So all those guns were taken up. They were taken to a foundry and melted down, as far as we know.
Yeah, well, and the blacks have it.
You're only allowed to have per gun, whether that is now a sidearm, a pistol, a revolver, doesn't matter. You're only allowed 20 rounds. So anything more than that can land you in jail. So they you're basically being disarmed in South Africa.
You said it perfectly. This is a plan. It has been carefully thought out. It has been implemented, and it is waiting on the shelf to be taken down and used.
That's perfectly it. And now, more and more and from different groups, it is now coming out that everybody's starting to hear the same thing over and over and over again.
Oh, my.
Along that 5 years.
It's been 5 years
for a long time.
Well, you see, the problem, Patty, is the South African government of blacks will not let the whites freely leave.
Yeah,
that's the problem.
Sneak them out and get a couple of cruise ships and just...
Well, you couldn't get a cruise ship anywhere near there.
Get them onto the ship.
Yeah, you couldn't do it. It's got to be done another way. This has to be a United Nations move somehow It has to be. I don't know any other venue that could sustain the kind of power needed to allow this, force this to happen. There has to be a human rights. They talk about the United Nations Human Rights Watch. This has to happen through the United Nations somehow.
Yeah, because
there are groups that are in talks with the United Nations, the Security Council, and they are apparently signed agreements already, granting refugee status, all to do with the Geneva Convention. All of that is on the books. Whether it's actually going to happen, you know as well as I do. Politics, you say one thing and you go and do the other thing. So I'm not too sure whether that is going to be an option in the end. You've seen in Africa, the United Nations is very slow to react to anything like this.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Or in Somalia, or it doesn't matter. It just takes too long.
All right. Let me ask you another question. I'm just fishing here. But if the American government were to do something, would that have any sway over South Africa? Do we give enough money in foreign aid to the blacks and the black government in South Africa to have any power or influence over them to get some of these whites out? Do we have any kind of clout with them?
Jeff, I would say the States is giving too much aid to the government in South Africa.
Oh, I agree. I'm saying, so we do give aid and we can cut that back. We have a lever. We have some leverage to use on them. That's my question.
Look, I think now with President Trump, he's quite sympathetic to what's going on here, from what I hear. So, there is a possibility. I would actually think of sanctions, as bad as that might be for the country.
Oh, absolutely. But, well, my God, they're putting sanctions on Russia for what? No reason at all. This needs whatever economic tool there may be in the inventory has to be used. I don't know I don't know how much Trump knows about this. I don't know. Somebody listening, though, knows people in government that can address this issue. This has to be done. Perhaps with congressional oversight. I don't know. We have to take a break. Hold on. We'll be right back with Carl Foster from South Africa. Forster, and he is in South Africa. I think what you've heard so far, this interview tonight, ought to make all of you think very clearly about reaching out to try to help these people. I don't care what color you are, what race you are, what religion you are. This is a true issue of life and death, refugee status for these people, these human beings. I will do everything I can. I know Patty will as well, and I hope many of you listening would get involved. We'll try and keep you fully informed about what I learned and what I can learn from Carl. Now, Carl, we have about 20 minutes remaining. What would you like to discuss that we have not talked about so far?
Jeff, two things that I would like to mention. Number one, even though all of this is happening day to day, it's not done out in the open. A lot of it is done on paper, and it's done in such a way that nobody in the end is actually responsible for anything. So, for instance, if you take an exit visa from South Africa, it can take forever and ever for that application to be approved, by which time it's probably too late. So it's basically closing up the borders in such a way that nobody's actually closing the border. We're just making it very difficult to get out. That's basically the rhetoric. Right.
That's like I was pointing out. I think this has to come from the United Nations. If it involves sanctions, if there are sanctions, of course the blacks will take it out on the whites. But this must be done somehow, some way. Foreign aid, if we're giving any foreign aid, and apparently we are. I'm not aware of it, but it's there, and Carl would know. That must be used as a weapon to open the doors. Even if only 25% of the 4 million whites want to leave, that door must be made open. Mr. Trump, you must step up on this, and you must do the right thing. Let's stop bringing in the Syrian refugees from Niger, from the Democratic Republic of Congo, from Somalia. They're not Syrian refugees. Let's bring in some real human beings who are in grievous trouble. Patty?
Oh, I totally concur, Jeff. We've got to get them in. I know South Africa has wonderful horsemen, and, you know, with my ins at the racetracks, maybe we can get people with the horse knowledge out and get them jobs at
There are so many potentials, Patty.
Yeah.
But most importantly, these people deserve to live. They deserve to have a chance at a future. I just can't say that enough. And I'm not taking anything away from anyone else who is in dire condition either. All right? This is not a prejudicial stance I'm taking, one against the other. I'm talking about a group that has no press, no representation, nothing that I have ever come across on my own here. Compare that and contrast it to what you hear about Mideast refugees and so-called Somalian refugees. Yeah. All right? They get ink. They get airtime. They get media. The whites in South Africa get nothing. And that's what bothers me the most. I'm for representative equal treatment. I would take in a family if I could immediately. Yeah. But they're not going to let them go.
Yeah. They're going to have to be illegal. They'll have to come out.
They're going to have to be forced. The South African government's going to have to be forced to act in a humane and reasonable way. They're going to have to be forced through the UN somehow.
They don't know. They don't understand reason. They only understand killing and violence. That's the IQ.
Sounds like Islam to me all over again.
Yep. That's all. We're in the Stone Age, Jeff. 7th century.
All right. Carl, what's the other thing you wanted to bring up?
Jeff, with some of the better groups that are in South Africa, I belong to one or two of them myself.
Right.
And they are contingency plans in place. I can't obviously go too much into detail about that because this item proxy is being listened to by the powers in control and whatever. I know that they do monitor your station. But we basically need liquid cash at the moment. Now, I know this sounds terrible, but we need to acquire basically transport vehicles, off-road vehicles, buses, so that when it comes to the push, we can evacuate people. We've already got food stored up. We've got clothing a bit, but anything, survival gear, if you've got $5 to spare, I can send you a link.
And send me a link. We need to have a site that people can donate to, and I'll put up a banner on my homepage. Even if we can get 10% of the whites out, it would be a monumental victory for decency on a human scale. So we must do this.
I mean, we've got food stores, we've got land set aside that's already been designated, you know, things like that.
Right.
But because it's such a big variable at the moment, I know on the one area, what I've been told, is that we can carry 40,000 people for about 14 years food-wise. And that's right now. That's today.
But that's now, not 4 million.
Let's say 100,000 people rock up there.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them are going to have no food, no petrol, no guns,
right?
No clothes, no bedding. We can organize housing and stuff. But we need extra tents. We need extra this because right. Basically what's going to happen is we're going to have to set up refugee camps inside of South Africa.
You know,
that all needs to be financed.
When you think about President Trump and all of the foreign aid he said he was going to cancel, and so, which he hasn't, he needs to direct money and support financial aid to these people somehow, directly, indirectly, through NGOs. I don't care how it's done. And where are the religions? Where are the Christian churches in all of this, Carl?
The Protestant churches, unfortunately, I would say in the middle 80s, changed not only theology, but the whole outlook into this whole everything is welcome, no more rules, doesn't matter what the Bible says.
Wow.
It's all, everybody is the same, and I mean, we've got Protestant preachers sharing stages with Islamic preachers, some of them Wahhabis.
You got Wahhabis down there too.
Okay. No, we've got everything done here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there was a huge storm about the parliament opening or opening of the parliament a while ago, where we had 27 different religious groups and churches all represented on the same stage, except for a Christian pastor. So that's all gone out the drain. Unfortunately, the Roman Catholic Church, they're very quiet at the moment. They've gone quiet.
Oh, where's the Pope? Where's the Pope speaking out about this?
I haven't heard anything coming out directly from
from
the Vatican about this.
That's because they're white.
How are the white South African younger women being treated? How are they faring right now? How are they being protected from the horrors that we hear in Europe all the time? What's going on there?
There's no protection. There's no protection. The government came out, same as in Europe, make sure that you walk around in groups. Don't walk around after dark. Don't wear provocative clothing. You know, pretty much the same rhetoric everywhere.
Right.
And from the younger girls in my town where I spoke, after 4 o'clock in the afternoon, they refuse to be out unless they're coming from work.
Right.
But there's no physical protection. We've had it now, where a woman was brutally raped in the back of a public taxi. Now we've got these small little buses that drive around and transport people.
Right.
Raped by seven guys. And she admitted in the newspaper column that she was too afraid to go to the police because she might get raped again.
Yeah.
Right. That's the same kind of psychology that's working in Europe.
Same thing. There's no protection. Rape is not seen as a well, there's rhetoric. We need to get rid of the rape in South Africa and all of that. But that's where it stays.
So rape is not seen in South Africa as a capital crime at this point?
No.
Not at all?
No. I've spoken to people that were raped. And when they went to the police station to make a case or the local detective office or whatever,
right?
They were utterly, utterly ridiculed. Asked, right. why did you allow it? Did you like it? And all funny things like that.
Oh, it's God.
It's brutal. Most people don't report rape or sexual harassment crimes in South Africa for that reason.
Uh-huh.
There is nothing. There's no support for them, basically.
Now, you know,
But it doesn't stop with the rape anymore. It just goes on, and then your head gets bashed in. We've had it now. again in last week, where she was out not far from where I stay, next town up towards Cape Town. Came out, she was murdered, the boyfriend was murdered, and then they found the body dumped on the side of a cliff. And she was raped numerous times. So this all happens.
You know, there are, Carl, millions of Americans. I know this is possibly just speaking in circles, but Patty has extra room in her house, an extra bedroom and a bathroom. I do. I mean, there are many people here who would take these people in and help them get relocated. I believe that. I just don't know how we can accomplish it at this point. You've made it quite clear that the most important thing right now is probably financial aid and assistance to the white community who is trying to organize, so when the slaughter comes, and that's what's coming, you'll be able to at least make an effort to rescue and save some of the victims. Because if the black tide begins to roll over the white tiny minority, there'll be no one left. There will be no one left.
Jeff, pretty much. And I'm not going to say, well, we need just financial aid. Most of the guys that run these evacuation groups and movements and stuff, they're all officers of the old, call it the old military in South Africa.
Right.
So if you can get survival gear to these guys, he takes one look at the crate and he knows exactly what's going on there.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the survival gear and stuff was actually developed and designed in South Africa, so these are the guys that know what's going on there. If we can get survival gear, long-term food storage systems, right. Basically, I would go so far as to say we need to do prepping, but on a very big scale.
God, we've got to get these people out. Look what they're doing. They're using United Parcel Service, UPS, 747 jets converted back to carrying passengers, and they're flying full loads, 350, 400 so-called refugees into American airports late at night under cover of darkness and spreading them all over this country on buses and vans, smaller flights. This has to change. There's no spokesman over here, Carl. You're it. This program may be the first program done on this subject of this size. Go ahead, Penny.
South Africa, what's going on there? 15 years if we don't replenish with whites, and we don't stop the Syrian refugees, so-called, from Africa, like Somalis, Eritrea. We are South Africa in 15 years, guaranteed.
Or less?
Probably less. They'll multiply and kill us off. Already they're taking over the streets in Manhattan to do that stupid prayer. They go in the middle of the street. They stop traffic. They had barricades for the people to watch that were in solidarity with the blacks laying in the middle of the street.
See, that's American suicidal behavior, which always amazes me. Carl, we have about 5 minutes left. If I wanted to sponsor a young family out of South Africa, there would have to be a registry. There would have to be some way of tracking these people who want to leave. Then there would have to be a way to legally get them out of there or smuggle them out to a neighboring country and from there on a flight. I don't know how they'd get a passport, though, unless the neighboring country would give them a passport. They'd have to have something. And yet when I say this, I'm saying it with full awareness that not one of these Muslim so-called refugees being brought in here have proper paperwork. It's all a scam. So what do we do, Carl? How do we help? I understand the financial need. I've got that loud and clear. So does our audience. How do I bring a family over here to help if I wanted to?
Jeff, I would say the first hurdle would be to get the travel papers in order. We've got a lot of other things that are heaped on top of that. If you travel with a minor, you've got to have certain certifications, and sometimes it's on and sometimes it's not being used. It's called the unabridged birth certificate, right. All of that type of stuff.
Right.
Like I said earlier, it's being made very difficult to get hold of it. It's not impossible. But what I need to say to, if there are South Africans that are listening to this, white South Africans, you have already waited too long. You can't go and expect to apply for all these things once the problems have started. So you've got to start getting ready for it now, and it is coming. And it's not coming from me and one or two other people in South Africa. This is page after page after page after group that are all coming up with the same thing. Get ready for it, get ready for it. And unfortunately, you're being laughed off in South Africa. And you know yourself how it goes. Yeah. Once it's too late, then it's too late.
So
if there's a way to, like you say, a registry, and you can get in touch with these people, and you can get groups and networks set up, it will be easier to do.
Carl, you have put your life on the line tonight by even telling us all of this. This is going out worldwide. There are a lot of people listening who are keenly now aware of something they knew nothing about 2 hours ago. And I don't know what else you can do, but there has to be a movement in the white community to try to understand that there are Americans willing to help. We've got to have means to get them out of there. And it's clear they're going to have to be smuggled in some cases. I don't know how else to phrase it. This is not good. We've just recently seen a story about Zuma's 747 airplane. It's enough to make you retch, the money, the waste. And yet what we're hearing is more than real. And the urgency of this is extraordinary.
Jeff, you all know, not only that, I'm sure you know about this huge house that the president bought.
Sure.
And then I'm not sure if you know about the flat that was bought for him.
That I don't know. No.
It's pretty much a breaking story. It started coming out last week. You can go and look up the Gupta emails. It's about 220,000 emails that got leaked. About corruption and how a specific family basically took over the whole of South Africa.
Right.
Big friends with Mr. Zuma. And they bought him a very nice flat in Abu Dhabi. No, I'm lying. In Dubai.
Yeah.
They spent 330 million rand. So you can divide that by 13 to get to the dollar. Bought for him, and he then turned around and said, no, that's all a lie, I don't know anything about it. And now last night, just after 11 hour time, the forms were actually leaked with his signature, everything, where he says, we look forward to your patronage during our stay in the United Arab Emirates. His closest neighbor, literally the guy that lives next to him in the house next to him, or the flat next to him, is Mr. Robert Mugabe from Zimbabwe.
Oh, my.
And these two flats, I can send you the links for that as well, for the actual leaks.
Yeah.
Published money.
Emails of this. So
that's our foreign aid.
The moment his presidency is up, he's going to have huge problems, and he will be criminally prosecuted.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he's going to flee. And the moment he flees, that's when I think it's going to hit the fan, to put it bluntly.
Carl, we're just about out of time. I want to invite you to come on the program again as often as you think is necessary to keep the situation updated and current, perhaps next month, whenever. This is not a situation we can allow to sit in the back burner and just smolder. We've got to bring it forward. So I'm here to help. Patty will help. I hope that this program will be made available to all whites in South Africa, so they know at least that the world is hearing about the plight, the danger that they face every day, and it's getting worse. You have been truly heroic tonight in expressing this situation so clearly, and I thank you very much. And just know that we are here to help, and let me know what I can do, if anything, please.
Jeff, I'll definitely stay in touch.
All right.
I've got your email, I've got everything.
Yes. All right.
And, thank you for the opportunity to come on. It's a great honor to speak to both of you.
Well, the honor is certainly ours as well. Thank you. You're a very brave man. Let's continue to move forward. I'll be here. You take care. Thank you.
Thank you very much. May we all meet in America.
Yeah, that would be wonderful. All right, Carl. Good night, Carl.
You too.
Good night.
Patty, thank you.
It was very interesting, Jeff. And that's our foreign aid going to these with the gold necklaces and beamers and all that.
It's called bling, not foreign aid. Bling.
Yeah.
Disgusting.
I wanted to tell people to tweet Trump. I've been making a lot of tweets about this. Send the Navy down if you have to pick those people up.
Now there's a worthy pursuit for the Navy. Yes. All right. Thank you, Patty. We'll stay on it.
Okay. Thanks, Jeff.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
All right. We'll make this program available on Rents for all of you, and I hope you take it very seriously, and let's hope that something opens up that we can actually extend help to these people and bring them out of there. All right. Back with you tomorrow night.